Okay, well, sorry guys, we didn't get a chance to do the park thing, but we're gonna do this thing. Still gonna have fun. This is what happens when your boys get the iPad. This is AI generated image of some guy, some kid cutting through a locker with a chainsaw for some reason. And I can't change it back. Okay. Hey, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The rain is nice, and we need the rain, but it's so crazy. It's been so dry, and we planned this so far out in advance, and now it rains like cats and dogs, but here we are. So, do what? We are going to reschedule. Yes, thank you, Lydia. We are going to reschedule. Maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to continue working through the text, and we're really just going to highlight two verses and draw some application and some reflection. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we get to reflect on your word. We pray that you would bless us as we think about your holiness and what that means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The lightning I saw today reminded me of a time in the past when I was working outside. I think I was working on the tractor, had my headphones on, did not hear the thunder, and a thunderstorm, a really black cloud just kind of descended upon me. And it started lightning really hard. It felt like it was all around me. And I'm running so hard to get back into the house. And it feels like I'm going to die. Like lightning is popping, it felt like everywhere. And I jump inside the house, shut the door, and there's this feeling of relief that comes over me. And I'm like laughing because I feel this relief. I feel like I'm going to get struck by lightning, and now I'm not. I feel peace, I feel safety. And so that I go through that door all the time. This time it was different because I felt threatened by what was outside. And now I'm in peace. And there's a feeling that you get when you become saved. You go, I have peace now. I'm saved. I'm saved from my sins, and there's no longer a threat out there that's going to destroy my soul because of my sin. And it feels fantastic, just like me in the lightning storm. So we're going to think about that tonight and reflect on what God says about his wrath. So the Gospel of John is written so that you would believe. But for you to believe in a saving way, you need to understand true things in your mind in order to feel proper loving affection in your heart towards God. God doesn't want dummies. He has given each of us the ability to know true things about him, and he wants to renew our minds in the truth. God has given each of us the ability to understand him at some level. And some of these things are hard sayings. They're hard to understand, and they're really heavy. And so, but you need to know them because your concept of God is fundamental to who you are. Your concept of God, your understanding of him is fundamental to who you are. For you to be stabilized. What does stabilized mean? Stabilized. Rowan. Being secure. Having a good foundation. So you won't get tossed around by the world. And right now, most of you are kind of liquid, if I'm being honest with you. You're not exactly solid in some areas. The concrete is still mushy. And you're still learning and growing as a Christian. And that's true for me as well. Tonight, we're going to learn not just what you're saved from, but who you've been saved from. And we use the word saved. Y'all know why? Because we're saved from God's wrath. What we're going to learn tonight is that before you're saved, We are not just dead in our sins and transgressions, but we are marked for destruction. Your sins are not just a revolting to God, but your sins, because of your sins, you're actively hostile to God. You're like an insurgent into his kingdom before you're saved. Before you're saved, you're a walking offense to God. You're a walking piece of blasphemy. Your life is a mockery to his image, and you do not reflect the glory of God as you were originally designed to do. We should live for the Lord, but we want to do things our own way. We don't want to acknowledge him in our life. We want to be our own God of our lives. So you're like a sign giving false directions. You're like a compass that does not point to true north. You're like a GPS that sends you down a dead-end road. You're like a vessel that can hold no water. But you're not just worthless. You are a walking offense against God. And this passage we're going to learn about tonight is going to show us that we're not just dead in our sins, but we're born as an object of God's wrath. We're born into this. So look at John chapter 3. We're going to look at two verses, actually a few, two main ones. And we started this last week in John chapter 17. Look at this. John 17, and we're going to look at John 3:36. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus in verse 17. He says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe," get this, "is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God." Condemned already. The verdict is in and you're already condemned. And look at John 3:36. And this is John the Baptist talking. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life." But get this, "but the wrath of God remains on him." It's not like it becomes upon you, it remains on you. It's already on you. There's a bullseye on you. So let me pray again. Lord, we thank you for this passage. Pray you bless it and strengthen me as I seek to explain it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is giving us a testimony about the state of man. And the key truth I want you to think about tonight is that the wrath of God remains on you for those who are outside of Christ. So what does this mean? We are not just born dead. We are born with a target on us. And why wrath? Why wrath? You know, outside world looks at this and is like, your God is like a cosmic Karen. You know? Extra. Too much. Over the top. That's what the world would say about this passage. But God is the ultimate source of justice and goodness. Because he is just and good, he will not let sin go unpunished. Just like a good judge will not let a criminal go free. Criminal breaks the law, even if he says, "I'm sorry," or the offended party says, "I forgive them," the criminal has to be punished. The judge can't just go, "I think he's sorry, we'll let him go." That's unjust. A good judge is going to make the criminal pay. But why is it wrath? God's wrath is the perfect and just punishment for sin and ungodliness, stemming from God's holy nature and his opposition to evil. We're told in Ephesians 4, verse 26, "Be angry," a command to us, "be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger." So when anger flares up in us, it's legit. But God says, you can't handle this. You will sin if you hold that into your heart. Like, give it a time and then don't let it stay with you because it's going to misshape you. But God can handle it because he is righteous and good. God is the only one who can fairly, properly, and justly execute punishment. Anger is not a weakness. It's a proper response to sin. God feels emotions perfectly. His emotions reflect the truth about what is valuable. Sin is hostile to God's glory. Sin destroys good. It keeps you from knowing Him. The nature of sin is at odds with God's character. So God is not going to be indifferent about it. He's not going to be just, oh well, that's just what they, you know, that's what they do. I'm used to it by now. He's never used to it. He actively feels it perfectly. God wants to preserve the best for you. He wants to preserve the best for you. Therefore, He is wrathful to anyone that tries to take it from you. Okay? I know we're talking about something. We're playing ball a second ago, and now He brings us in here. We're talking about something heavy and big. But I want you to think about this. Okay? Therefore, He feels anger just like you would do if somebody is keeping a child from a life-saving medicine. Just like you would feel if someone gave you directions and sent you to a dead end or kept you from enjoying your favorite person. That would flare up, something would flare up in you. If you see someone being abused by another person, you would feel this type of wrath toward the abuser. We've all felt this, right? Have we all felt this? Right? Yes. As God's image bearers, it makes sense, and we have tasted this for ourselves in a faint way. What is the opposite of love? Can somebody tell me that? What's the opposite of love? Somebody other than Rylan. Elijah. It's not hate, actually. Logan?
Indifference.
Why indifference, Logan?
It shows that they care about you so little they don't even give you a second thought.
That's great, yeah. I hold you in no regard. I don't even care to acknowledge your existence. So you have love and indifference. Hate is something is related to a problem that flares up in you because you love in some regard related to the thing. Godly hatred, anger, and wrath is a response when someone threatens, harms, or dishonors someone you love. God is not, if God was indifferent, He would not be loving. Think about that. If He's indifferent, He would not be loving. Therefore, God's wrath is a proper response to sin. It is a proper response. It's about truth and standards. God will uphold His standards. God does not put His standards to bed. So He feels this righteous anger against sin every day, always in perfect order. And it all flows from the truth that God is holy. Wrath is a proper, holy reaction to an image bearer sinning against His holiness. And God is actively against sinners, like you would be if someone tried to poison the family dinner. You'd be actively against that. I can't let you come in and poison my family. I'm going to be actively against you. God will uphold His glory so that you can enjoy it forever. God will uphold His glory so that you can enjoy it forever. That's what's at stake. Therefore, God is not indifferent to us. God is opposed to us until the debt is paid. This is why it says, verse 17 of John chapter 3, for God did not send His Son. Think about what I just said in light of this verse. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him, believes in Christ, trusts in Him, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Again, verse 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So we need the peace of God. We're at odds with God before we know the Lord. We need peace with God. Because sin is a hostile offense against God, a personal attack on His glory, because you are wearing His image, there can't be a ceasefire. We can't just negotiate peace and say, let's just stop. God, put your gun down. Let's just talk about this. That would lower the standard of His holiness. God's wrath must land. God's wrath must land. But the good news is that at the cross, God provided a way to pour out His righteous wrath against sin without pouring it on you. God's wrath must land. It's not going to disappear. And He found a way in His wisdom before the foundation of the earth to pour it out without pouring it out on you. We need peace with God because we currently have wrath before Christ. And the justice of God calls for wrath to land on somebody. And this is why you need Jesus. This is why you need Christ. This is Isaiah 53, verse 5. This is the Old Testament. This is the prophecy of this coming Messiah that you need. But He, the Messiah, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was, what's the word? He was crushed for our iniquities, our sin. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That's the prophecy of the coming Messiah, of how the peace will be accomplished. Wrath is coming. It will land. It's coming on us. It says it remains on us until you turn to Jesus. To illustrate this, there's a great scene in The Iron Giant. Have y'all seen The Iron Giant? You haven't seen The Iron Giant? It's a good movie. It's a great movie. It's an animated movie, but I encourage you to see it. It's fantastic. So there's a scene toward the end where somebody launches a nuclear missile. And this nuclear missile launches from a submarine, and it's headed toward a city. They're trying to destroy the Iron Giant. It's this big, giant machine. And the nuclear missile is headed toward the city, but it's going to destroy the entire city. Before it does, the Iron Giant, out of love for his friends, flies up and meets that missile head on and destroys the wrath of the missile. The Iron Giant absorbs all of the impact, so the missile is destroyed midair and it doesn't land on the people that he loves. And when I see that, I can't help but think about Jesus absorbing the wrath of God for us on the cross. On the cross, Jesus met God's wrath between heaven and earth so that we could have peace with God. God's wrath must land. It will land on somebody. Either it will land on you or it will land on Christ. But because God is holy and just, it will land. And it makes sense of why it will land, because He's holy. But that's what Christ came to do. The Iron Giant absorbed the wrath of the missile so it will not fall on his friends. And that's just a great image. When I saw that, I'm like, man, that's what Jesus did for us. He hung between heaven and earth and absorbed God's wrath so it wouldn't fall on us. Jesus pays the debt, depletes, absorbs the kinetic energy, so to speak, of God's wrath against us on the cross, justly paying for our sins and securing eternal peace. And that's great news. Jesus justifies God's wrath fully and completely so that there is nothing left. There's nothing, there's no wrath for you to taste, because He drank the cup down Himself. Again, Isaiah 53, verse 5, but Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Peace. No more wrath. No more threat. And with his wounds we're healed. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith or belief, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're born in this world not having peace. Your main threat is God. And he sends Jesus to remove his wrath from you. He takes it on his son. And we can take comfort tonight because of Jesus. And this is closing here. We can take comfort tonight because of Jesus. Your greatest threat, which is God, is now your greatest ally. Your greatest threat is now your greatest ally. God's the greatest threat you've ever had. Remember he says, fear not the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and throw the soul into hell. That was your greatest threat, God. God went from a consuming fire to a forever father. Because of Jesus, he goes from a consuming fire, it says in Hebrews, now he is a forever father because of Jesus. So, application. If you're feeling anxious or fearful, think about this truth. Put this truth on your heart. Renew your mind and heart with this truth. We have peace with God because of Jesus. That's an objective truth. Peace with God. Now you can experience the peace of God, which is more of a subjective, you feel it now, truth. You have peace with God through Jesus because he's absorbed the wrath for you, took your place, and now you can enjoy the peace of God. And I love that. Now, we can say like Paul in Romans 8:35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's just not a wrath-absorbing substitute. He is the lover of our soul. And that's why he flew up and met that missile of God's wrath head on. And Paul thinks about this. He's like, who shall separate us from the love of God? For the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword, or fill in the blank of what you're dealing with, or worried about, or anxious about. You just plug it in right here. Paul's like, put perspective on your problem. The main threat, the biggest threat is gone, and you have peace with God. If you have peace with God, you can have peace to face any pain or circumstances. Because of Jesus, your greatest threat is now your greatest ally. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for these truths. We thank you that you are perfect and you fill things perfectly and you value your holiness and you preserve your holiness. You don't sweep our sins under the rug of the universe. We thank you that you provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. We thank you for loving us and sending Jesus to be our wrath-absorbing substitute. Help us to think about this and to take joy that we are safe in Christ. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray that your Spirit would make that truth real in our hearts so that we would live differently and live for you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.